This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And here on the first Saturday in October, we say good morning along with David Jenkins. Tim Mize with you. And David, it's been a busy sporting week. The high school football season is two-thirds of the way finished. And of course, we got Fighting Illini football coming up this afternoon, hosting Nebraska at 2. The Cardinals have clinched the Central Division, a 100-win club. Just a lot going on.
And we've got other baseball on the radio today.
We absolutely do, as, well, potentially, hopefully, more baseball on the radio today. Nokomis has to win one more ball game.
But we're carrying it either way. There's a championship game and there's a third-place game. We're going to be carrying either one of those.
So this is why I'm part-time. I wasn't aware of this.
Yes.
I thought we were only covering the championship game.
No, we will carry the third-place game if they play for third place.
But I got faith. They're going to be playing for the championship regardless. So Nokomis won yesterday in the Class 1A State Junior High Baseball State Tournament. They defeated Danville Sharman 5-3 to move into the semifinal round this morning. They will play Joliet St. Paul. That is a 9:30 first pitch in the semis, and then as David just told you, win or lose, we will have Nokomis on the radio tonight. It'll be about 7 o'clock following our Fighting Illini football coverage. So the third place game's at 2. The championship game is at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and win or lose, we'll have the Nokomis Braves on the radio. But congratulations to Nokomis as their season continues. Also, congratulations to Staunton, the Terriers. They rolled into the 2A state baseball tournament undefeated, and they came up one run short in the quarterfinals yesterday as Staunton fell to Joliet St. Raymond by the score of 2-1. So congratulations to Staunton on a great baseball season, finishing 16-1 on the year. And I believe we're going to be catching up with Terry Toad. He is up at the Eastside Center in Peoria, as he will be having the call for you later on today when Nokomis either plays for third or the state championship. So good luck to the Braves this after. Actually, good luck to them this morning as they will be playing at 9:30 against Joliet St. Paul. So there is that. And then last night on the gridiron, David, it was another wild night in the South Central Conference as Pena stays atop the league at undefeated 6-0.
Yeah, and it wasn't that close either. They defeated Greenville 56-0. Greenville now 1-5 on the season, so you know what that means. They are officially eliminated from the playoffs for the first time since 2003.
How about that?
That's shocking.
And in week 6.
Yeah. I mean, they could conceivably be 0-6 this season.
Litchfield had a lead midway through the third quarter in week 1.
Not for a few cramps, they could be 0-6. A game you heard here on WSMI FM 106.1 saw Carlinville defeat Gillespie last night 35-0. So Carlinville now 4-2 on the season. Gillespie 2-4. They got off to a hot start in the season, going 2-0, have lost 4 straight. So they now have to win out in order to keep their postseason hopes alive. Vandalia last night, a bit of a shocker. They were able to, I guess you would call it an upset. They pulled off the upset, beating Hillsborough 35-28. This was a game where Vandalia led 28-6 at one point. Hillsborough made a comeback, but ultimately fell short. So Vandalia improves to 3-3 at .500, and Hillsborough now falls to 4-2. Of course, both teams' playoff hopes very much alive still. Roxana last night got the win at Litchfield 38-27. So Roxana, who started the season 0-2, is now 4-2. They've won 4 straight. Litchfield falls to .500 at 3-3. And then a game you heard on 105.3 WAOX, Southwestern defeated Staunton 45-0. So Southwestern back to .500 at 3-3. Staunton now 0-6 on the season. In the Prairie State Conference, Nokomis last night got their second win of the season over Bunker Hill, 28-6. Pawnee will play Marquette. That game is today at 1 p.m. down at Public School Stadium in Alton. East Alton Wood River defeated Metro East Lutheran for their first win of the year, 42-12. And Metro East Lutheran still winless on the season, 0-6 is their record. And Mount Olive got the win last night. I believe that's their second win of the season. They defeated South Fork, 14-8. Some games in the Sangamo Conference. North Mac defeated Athens 50-18. So the North Mac Panthers 6-0 on the season at the top of the Sangamo Conference. Auburn was all over Porta last night, 48-13. Auburn back to .500 at 3-3. New Berlin over Pleasant Plains, 41-13. That's kind of a bit of a shocker. New Berlin is good, but for New Berlin to beat Pleasant Plains by that much, 41-13, that's what was surprising. And then Williamsville back in the win column. They are 3-3 on the season now after they defeated Pittsfield 55-30. And then the last same-o conference game, it's a non-conference game, I should say, Riverton at El Dorado. That'll be played today at 7 p.m.
And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, thank you for a few minutes of your time, as always, on Saturday morning. And that was an awesome game for you last night. Offense, defense, and special teams all had a huge impact.
Yeah, we were really, really happy with our defensive effort to start. I thought we've had some injuries on that side of the football and moved some kids around. In the last 2 weeks, we've kind of got it solidified. They really grasped the game plan this week, and I thought we tackled really well. And then when you add in their block punt, and Hayden Thompson did a great job kicking the football, it was a really fun and exciting night.
Yeah, two blocked punts for you, and I thought that your defensive line, they really controlled that game. It didn't seem that at any point in the ball game your line was getting pushed back. They were always in the backfield.
Yeah, you know, I make fun of Dylan Chisholm and Matt Bolamy and Mitchell Bolamy this morning, that they owe those guys a ton of credit, those front four. They really controlled their gap this week, and I thought they did a great job.
I know that I heard your volunteer assistant over the years, Don Borgini, talk about football's easy. It's blocking and tackling, and I guess in a lot of ways kind of fitting that that's what that type of game was last night.
Yeah, I think, you know, we had two very similar teams, I think both offensively and defensively. We knew that there was going to be nothing special about the games in terms of trying to trick somebody or, you know, adapting to what they do, and it was really come down to fundamentals, and I was really happy to see our kids stay within themselves and just do the little fundamental things right, and it made it frustrating for them, and I think we wore on them as the game went on.
Jacob Dixon kind of had to wait his turn in line at Carlinville to become the lead back, and boy, he is making the most of his opportunity this year when he has the football in his hands. Sensational.
Well, I don't know if Terry's there, but he always makes fun of me that Carlinville's always got all these speed and all that other thing, but you're exactly right. You know, he's a phenomenal athlete. He's kind of played a little slot receiver, and he's rolled into that form as we had seen in the past over Carlinville tradition. And, he's just electrifying. He's a hard guy to tackle. He has that Brendan Stewart type elusive speed, you know, where I thought Kenny Miles had that great burst. And I've always thought Brendan and Jacob this year, they have that elusive speed where they give you a little bit of that dead leg, and the next thing you know, they're by you. So it's very difficult to tackle him.
Well, Chad, last night, Jared Easterday got the start under center, and just a freshman, but I thought that he looked extremely comfortable and confident.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is his second week there. We've had, obviously, Adam Walton had a collarbone week one. He's done a great job there. I thought he did a great job of managing the game. I thought, especially in some tough windy conditions last night, threw some balls that were just on the money. We had a few drops, and, as I talked to him, and managing the game at quarterback is one of the most important things, and he really did a great job last night. I was very proud of him.
Chad, you're back to 4-2 now, and I guess it's nice to have a winning streak. You had alternated wins and losses through the first five.
Yeah, for a lot of factors that kind of happened for us. So, we're back on a roll, I think, and last night was a good way to keep that going. And I think we have Hillsborough stubbed their toe last night. I know the Duff and those guys will have them ready to go next week. They'll be 4-2 now as well. So it's a big game for both of us next week.
And, Chad, next Friday night, that's always a neat night of football when you guys play Hillsborough, because it's all the program.
You know, we do it with Pena and Hillsborough, and I know some guys don't like it, but, I'm glad Al and Duff do. It's a great atmosphere for football, and both of our facilities have an extra field behind the bleachers or off to the side where it really doesn't affect the warm-ups at all, and I think, people get a whole night of football.
Absolutely. Chad, congratulations on the win last night, and best of luck next week against Hillsborough, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And last night, David, 35-0 over Gillespie. And it really was a night where the offensive line and the defensive line for Carlinville, they were the story.
And it was I would assume it's kind of a rivalry game where it was Gillespie's homecoming and Carlinville really, I don't want to say they wanted to embarrass them. They wanted to show up. They made sure they didn't want to be on the wrong end of this one.
And Carl and I touched on it a little bit during the broadcast last night. Of course, Gillespie and Staunton, they're They're natural rivals, mm-hmm. have been for a long time. There's really not much love lost between Gillespie and Staunton. Right. It's not as bad as it once was years ago, but there's definitely a history there between those two towns. Of course, Carletonville and Greenville over the last probably 10 years have really had a good on-field football rivalry just because they've been at the top of the league for so long, but that never really carried mm-hmm. over into other sports. But it does seem that the Carletonville-Gillespie football game is just kind of a natural rival for the Cavvies.
Yeah, you look at schools like Carletonville and really Litchfield. Those are kind of the two schools, big schools, I guess, of their county. I mean, Hillsborough is the same size as Litchfield, but they're kind of, I guess, the big cities of Montgomery and Macoupin County. So
the
I guess
big cities.
Well, I'm being liberal here with my choice of words, but the point I'm trying to make is the other smaller schools. You know, look at this. Hey, let's get up and let's go after those guys.
Good luck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, like you mentioned with Chad, good for Carletonville to have a winning streak now, 4-2 on the season.
They're used to having a lot of winning streaks in Carletonville. And, of course, big game next week against Hillsborough. And obviously that will not be an easy test, both clubs coming in 4-2. If Carletonville can get past Hillsborough next week, they really do have a good opportunity to finish out 7-2. But the way that this football season has gone, it's really ludicrous to try to predict any sort of outcome weeks in advance because it's just been that type of season.
Yeah, I mean, it's been just about impossible to predict any of the games this season because, like you said, it's been so crazy. And Chad mentioned it as well, Hillsborough coming off a loss to Vandalia. Hillsborough, I mean, they're going to be ready. They're going to be probably more focused this week now than they would have been had they beat Vandalia. I mean, they're going to be ready to play. It's going to be a great game.
Every team is always dangerous coming off of a loss, yeah. Especially a home loss.
Oh, yeah.
Carletonville having a volleyball tournament today, the Invitational. It is underway right now in the high school gym, Carletonville and Greenfield Northwestern, in the middle school gym, Lutheran and the Edwardsville JV squad. You got two pools set up. The red pool has Carletonville, Lanphier, Greenfield Northwestern, and Valmyra, those games being played in the high school gym. Then the blue pool in the middle school gym, Springfield Lutheran, Greenville, Central A&M, and the Edwardsville JV. So they're underway now. They will play volleyball all day into the afternoon hour, and they will have their championship match coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So if you're looking for some good high school volleyball here on your Saturday, Carletonville High School is the place as they are underway right now. And, of course, Nokomis Junior High baseball team, they are up at the state tournament. They are getting set for a state semifinal match at the bottom of the hour. They will take on Joliet St. Paul. And win or lose, we will have the Braves on the radio for you this evening. If they are playing for third place or the championship, does not matter. We will have Nokomis Braves baseball following the Fighting Illini. That will come your way probably about 7 o'clock this evening. The Illini kicking off at 2 o'clock this afternoon on FM 106. And Illinois hosting Nebraska, David. So we got two landlocked states. So, of course, the game has been rearranged because of the hurricane out on the East Coast.
Because it's one of the games that's going to get played.
Yes.
They're confident it's going to
get
played.
You know, it's on the Big Ten Network, and I think Maryland, of course, is now in the Big Ten. And so they've adjusted those start times out east to try to get them in before the weather. So as a result, the Illini game, because of the hurricane, gets moved back, a half hour from 1:30 until 2.
Got to have some major programs on TV today. And with the hurricane.
Or Illinois.
Or Illinois. They're still a major
program.
Although
they are playing Nebraska.
They are a major program.
No, they're not.
They're a major school.
They're a joke.
I mean, they're a big school. That's what
they are a big school. Yeah. This is true. That's a far cry from being a major program.
Okay, well, yeah, they're a big school. You got to have, you know, a big school from a power conference.
They're playing Nebraska.
Yes.
I don't know if this is still true or not because the statistic could be a little bit outdated, but as of a couple of years ago, the state Husker Stadium on game day is like the third largest city in Nebraska.
It's because there's so many people nothing there. Else to do.
Well, yeah, but still, Dave, that's pretty impressive. It tells you all you need to know about Nebraska football.
Take a break
and how
from the
seriously
farming
they take
and
it.
Get up there and watch football.
That's exactly right.
It's like Iowa, too. Iowa
Shell
probably.
Corn, watch Huskers. That's all you do.
That's right.
That's what you do.
I would imagine same thing goes for Iowa football, too. Probably not a whole lot. Although you do have, you know, the Iowa Cubs up there, so a lot of Cubs fans, so there is baseball around that area, but this time of year, no, there's, I guess, not much else to do.
Well, you get in the states, though, that don't have major professional sports teams, and, boy, those college teams really take on a different level of significance, well, down south especially. And then you get into Iowa and Nebraska, you don't mess with the Hawkeyes and the Huskers.
You mentioned you know, where Dylan Miller went to school, North Dakota State. I mean, that's one of, from what we've heard, that's one of the greatest college football atmospheres, because it's, granted, it's the bowl subdivision, but the whole place just shuts down, and they've got what they call as the Thunderdome. That's their stadium, and it's loud, and it's just, it's a phenomenal atmosphere. College game day's been there because it's such a great college football atmosphere.
I'll tell you this, I'd take North Dakota State over Illinois.
That's right.
By a couple of touchdowns, probably.
Most likely. Most likely.
But who knows? Maybe Illinois will shock the world and beat Nebraska.
They've played the smaller schools pretty well this season.
Well, the smaller schools.
Yes. Last year, they struggled. Last year, they were barely beating those smaller schools, but this year they've handled them pretty well.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to look for some silver lining, there it is.
There, you had to look hard, but you found it. Illinois hosting Nebraska, 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll have it for you here on FM 106, and then we will follow it up with Nokomis Junior High Baseball from the East Side Center in East Peoria. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We roll on following these messages. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And David, you got through some of the scores, but lots more to get to.
I got more. Let's start in the WIVC conference. These were all conference play, divided up between the North and South divisions. In Triopia, that game will be played today. That's Beardstown at Triopia. That will start at 1 p.m. Brown County last night defeated Camp Point Central 47-22. So Brown County, the sixth-ranked team in the state in class, I believe 1A. They defeated Camp Point Central 47-22. Central had a lead in that game, but it was early, and obviously Brown County, being the sixth-ranked team that they are, were able to come back and win it. Minden Unity defeated Jacksonville Route 34-7 last night. Carrollton defeated North Green 25-6, so Carrollton 5-1 on the season. Greenfield Northwestern defeated Hardin Calhoun 49-18, and West Central defeated Pleasant Hill 42-6. In the Apollo Conference, Taylorville defeated Effingham 14-7. Taylorville, I believe, 16-0 on the season. They've kind of become the class of the Apollo Conference since they left the Central State 8 just a couple years ago. Mount Zion defeated Charleston 53-20, and Mattoon defeated Salem 21-14. In the Mississippi Valley Conference, Highland defeated Civic Memorial 35-27. Jersey edged out Waterloo 23-21. Triad defeated Muskoda 49-7. And that's all for the Mississippi Valley. In the Southwestern Conference, Collinsville defeated Alton 34-9. Belleville East and Belleville West, that rivalry game will be played today at 1 p.m. And there was a forfeit at East St. Louis. Edwardsville defeats East St. Louis because East St. Louis forfeits. And O'Fallon defeated Granite City last night 42-12. And in the Central State 8 Conference, Sacred Heart Griffin defeated Chatham Glenwood 45-10. Decatur Eisenhower defeated Lanphier 46-14. Jacksonville got the win over Decatur MacArthur 62-20. Rochester defeated Lincoln 59-0. So Rochester still atop of the 4A polls. They are perfect 6-0 on the season, as is Sacred Heart Griffin. So once again, that Central State 8 Conference matchup between Sacred Heart Griffin and Rochester later in the season is going to be a doozy. And then the final score out of the Central State 8 Conference saw Springfield Southeast defeat Springfield High 34-14. And that one, from what we understand, got a bit chippy because there was a fight on the field during the game and the officials had to break it up. So I'd imagine pretty big rivalry game, Southeast and Springfield High School. So those are all the scores we have for you. Let's go back and recap the South Central, Prairie State, and Sangamo scores in case you missed it earlier. In the South Central Conference, Carlinville defeated Gillespie 35-0. Painted defeated Greenville 56-8. Vandalia defeated Hillsborough 35-28. Roxana defeated Litchfield 38-27. And Southwestern defeated Staunton 45-0. Those are your South Central scores.
And in the Sangamo last night, North Mac kept their undefeated season alive with a victory over Athens. And joining us now is the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Shane Owsley. Shane, again, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. And, hey, this head coaching thing's pretty fun, isn't it?
It is. When you have great players and you've got great community support and a great staff, it makes everything a lot more enjoyable.
When you started the season, obviously you had expectations pretty much as it's turned out, I would imagine. But now that you're two-thirds of the way through the season, have you had a chance maybe over the last several hours to look back to your preseason workouts and this run up to how you wound up 6-0?
Well, I mean, we haven't really got the chance to look back yet. Obviously, that's going to be something that we're hopefully going to do much later, you know, hopefully after Thanksgiving when we continue to roll on. We continue to look forward to the next game at hand, and, you know, we kind of got a late start with the way things went on here. And, you know, our number one goal, again, was to make sure that our kids had a positive experience. And so far, they've definitely done that. Of course, the winning's helped with that, but they've done a great job, and the whole mindset has changed, and I think the results are kind of showing that.
And it doesn't seem, Shane, from the outside, at least looking in, that your kids have had a problem putting the previous week's game on that back burner and focusing on the next challenge ahead.
Well, and I think that might be one of the positives of the schedule that we've had. We haven't had the opportunity to do that because of, you know, every week it seems like we're playing a team that's going to be making the playoffs. I think the real challenge is going to be coming the next two out of the 3 weeks. Obviously, we've got Riverton this week who has played everybody really, really tough for a half, but probably isn't going to make the playoffs. So that's going to be a situation where we have to make sure our kids aren't looking forward or past any team because, again, in our conference, anybody can beat anybody on a Friday night.
And we've seen it over the years with the Sangamo, kind of iron sharpening iron. When you get into the postseason, these Sangamo teams, because of the brutality of the conference, really are served well moving into Week 10.
Well, and that's kind of what we're hoping. I mean, you look at who we've played, and they've talked about the Sangamo gauntlet that we've gone through, you know, with the Williamsville, the Athens, the New Berlins, you know, Plains. All those teams are very, very good, which I think bodes very, very well for us going into the postseason. And you add in a game against Chester, who's state-ranked and undefeated themselves in 2 weeks. So we're very, very fortunate that if we can survive our regular season schedule, we should be ready to go come postseason.
And talk a little bit about putting up 50 points on what has been a historically very good Athens defense, because they had played really well all season and the last few years defensively, and you were able to go in and put up 50 points.
We did, and we only played one really, really good half. I think we had 24, I think, at the half, which was a pretty good start. Again, I thought we had a pretty good game script going into the season. Coach Smith did a really good job this week on that. And thinking back, I think there's only been one or two games this entire season where we didn't score with our opening drive. So that kind of sets the tone, and especially if you get in against some of those teams that maybe haven't had the success that they were hoping for this season, when you can get up on them early, maybe you may not get their best effort. And luckily, we came out, we fixed things at halftime, and we got that ball rolling a little better in the second half, and we were able to do the things that we wanted to do offensively.
And as a coach, and you can't really ask for much more than to have your team start fast like you guys have, be able to score on that opening drive. It's so huge.
It is, especially for kids. Like I said, that, you know, this team was 3-6 last year, so confidence was something that we knew we were going to have to change if we wanted the results to change. So for us to be able to get on top early, I think that, again, just kind of gets them going, allows them to know that, you know, they belong with whatever team they are playing that particular Friday. And luckily so far we've been able to do that in several games. And hopefully as the postseason rolls near, we don't just do a first drive and then a second half. At some point we're going to run into a team where we're going to have to play all four quarters. And again, last night our guys weren't satisfied. I know 50 points is a pretty good outing, but they knew that we did that roughly in 2.5 quarters rather than four. So they know we've got some improving to do, and that's the great thing about the group of kids we have right now. They know that, they see that, and they're out here doing it right now.
And, Coach, I don't know if Tim mentioned it already. I was out of the room. But 6 wins, you're officially in the postseason for the first time in a couple of years. So that's got to feel great.
It does feel good. I mean, that was one of the kids' goals, obviously. They wanted to improve on what they did last season. They wanted a chance at the conference title, which we currently, you know, have that shot. They wanted to make the playoffs. And to do that, obviously, you need to get to that 6-win mark to guarantee it. And as we talked last night, we've got to 6 now, and we've only played 6 games. So, you know, while we're here, we might as well get the next 3 as well.
And, Shane, a lot of times, you know, the kids who have the ball in their hands, they're the ones who get, you know, their name in the paper, on the radio, get the press. But you don't get off to a 6-0 start with the help from a lot of different people. And if you could now maybe just take a few minutes and let's get some of the names out there of your kids maybe who are on the line on either side of the ball who necessarily maybe don't get a lot of public recognition, but they definitely get the recognition in your locker room.
Well, you know, our whole program is based around our offensive and our defensive line. Obviously, we don't do anything without those guys. And if you've been around Burden or Gerard or Nilwood, you've seen the signs of a
the self-proclaimed big sexies with your offensive line. Obviously, John Myers and Gabe Fox, you know, at 6'5", 315 pounds, have garnered a lot of attention from not only our fans, but also from, you know, the college scouts around here. So they do a great job. Carson Van Busperk, who plays center for us. We have Lucas Brittenstein, who's a sophomore that's playing guard for us. They all do a really, really good job. And anybody who's seen our quarterback play this year, he's probably shown more improvement than any player I've ever coached in my life. He's a true leader on the field. I think he completed 9 of 11 last night for 240 yards and ran for another 150. So we know at some point we're going to run against a team that's going to be able to stop what our bread and butter is, and that's obviously the run game. But last night we showed we can throw the ball a little bit. And if we're able to show that on film, and if it's one more thing that our opponents are going to have to pay out for, it makes it that much more difficult to defend.
Your quarterback's also a pretty good kicker, too.
I think he's actually more proud of his kicking duties than he is a quarterback. He seems to talk about that the most. But, again, that's a weapon. You know, anywhere inside, you know, roughly 45 yards, he's pretty automatic. So that's a good weapon to have going into the postseason.
Shane, especially in high school football, not a lot of teams have a kicker where they can feel confident, maybe in a late-game situation, trying a 40-yard field goal. That's a long field goal in high school.
It is, and it's something that, you know, we rep every day in practice. So it's something that we know he has confidence in. We do it pregame, and, you know, it's something that I completely leave up to him. He comes in after a specialist come out and say, hey, I'm good from here. And then, you know, obviously we're going to trust our kids. And if he says he's good from 45 that night, then if we get to a point where that's something we need or that's a possibility, then we're going to trot him out there and give him a chance.
And, you know, between player and coach, the trust, that's a two-way street. You trust them, they trust you, vice versa.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're not going to get kids to play for you or as hard as they can if they don't believe in what you're doing and what you're saying. And the same goes with, you know, the other way around. They've got to believe in you. And like I said, I have 110% confidence in them. And I think that's a lot of what has kind of turned things around here. Everybody on our staff believes in our kids and what they're doing. We went into the season knowing that nobody's perfect and we're going to make mistakes every single day. And, you know, they're not going to get jumped on about it. We're going to coach them up, and we're going to let them know that that wasn't their best effort. They can do better, and in return, they've kind of responded to that. So far, it's been had a pretty positive result thus far.
Absolutely. 6-0 on the season are the North Mac Panthers. Shane Owsley, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Good luck next week, and we'll talk to you on Saturday.
All right, thank you.
All right, Shane Owsley, head coach of North Mac, and you can just hear it in his voice, David. He just got it.
Oh, yeah. There. Oh, and they're very excited up there, too.
And they should be.
They should be, yeah. 6-0 in the conference. Obviously, he wanted to mention that they're not looking ahead with their last. They've obviously gone through the gauntlet of the schedule.
It's our job to look ahead.
Exactly. They've got Riverton, Chester, and Porta remaining. Just one home game left. That's this week, this coming week against Riverton. And then they're on the road at Chester and then at Porta. And that Chester team, very good non-conference game.
Well, you heard Shane talking about state-ranked is Chester. And that being a road game in week 8, mm-hmm. that is great scheduling.
That is
perfectly placed. That's the exact type of ball game you want going into the postseason. Even if you can't come away with a W, the road experience you will get from that week 8 matchup could be invaluable for North Mac.
Most important thing coming out of that game will be staying healthy.
Yeah. Health. Always the great X factor. Carlinville slowly starting to maybe get a little bit of their health back. Of course, they're never going to be completely healthy this year with Brody Long being out with a torn ACL.
Walton should be or is supposed to be coming back pretty soon.
In a week or two. So
yeah. Good for them.
They've kind
Although if Easter Day continues to play well, they may have to shift some things around.
Mm. Good problem to have, I guess.
It's a very good problem to have, yeah.
Potentially decision time. What a great game we're going to have next week with Hillsboro traveling to Carlinville to take on the Cavaliers, and that is going to be kind of like a punch-you-in-the-mouth type of game right there.
Oh, yeah, because both very very good defenses there and great running games by both teams. A situation where Hillsboro, they've got a pretty good quarterback in Mitchell Reynolds, but he hasn't had to show off his skills in the passing game because the running game has been so great.
Why pass when you can run?
I don't know what the numbers were last week, but last week he had like one passing attempt because he didn't have to throw the ball. So yeah, they're just a very good game. It should be, and we'll have it on the radio on WSMI FM 106.
That's right. We'll have the Illini on the radio this afternoon, hosting Nebraska live at 2. We will follow that up with the Junior High Baseball State Tournament from the Eastside Center in East Peoria as Nokomis is playing in the state semifinals right now. The first pitch was at 9:30. They are taking on Joliet. St. Paul this morning. If they win, they will play for the state title at 4 o'clock this afternoon. If they lose in the semis, they will play for third place at 2 o'clock. And win or lose, Terry Tote will have the broadcast of the third place or the championship game. That will come up tonight, broadcast time, at about 7, as that will follow our Fighting Illini football coverage here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM 106.
And then we might have Cardinals baseball tomorrow.
If it doesn't rain?
Yeah, we're supposed to, but obviously
regular season finale.
Hurricane Joaquin may have other plans.
That was a nice AAA lineup they ran out there last night.
It was a very nice AAA lineup, yeah.
How about you win 100 games and you have to play 159 to clinch your division? Amazing.
Yeah. You have to win 100 games to clinch a division.
Yeah. And it's probably going to benefit them. Mm-hmm. Being pushed, as long as they were pushed, historically benefits teams in
they
the postseason.
Were, yeah.
Teams like Kansas City this year, who have been basically in cruise control for the last 3.5 months, they're the ones normally that will have trouble getting it amped back up for the postseason.
The Cardinals were the second to last team to clinch their division, I believe. Because the AL West has not been decided yet still, but the Cardinals, well, maybe it was decided last night. I don't know.
No, it's not. It's still
not
up.
Decided.
Still
is it still
up in the air?
Well, there you go. Cardinals are second, best record in baseball, and they're the second to last team in baseball to clinch
Central
division.
I mean, it's been talked about at nauseam, but the Central Division this year, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, how sick must Pittsburgh be? 3 great years in a row.
Chicago, too. They're finally.
Chicago's been terrible for a century, so they don't count. I'm
but they got over 90 wins this year.
They do. They're a really good third place club.
Yeah,
one of the best third place clubs I've seen in a long time.
Oh, they're the best third place
club.
Nice third place club.
Good third place club. Yeah. But a cute little third place club. But the Pirates, what? They won like 95 or something games 2 years ago in the wild card game. Won over 90 games last year in the wild card game. Pushing 100 wins this year, and they're going to wind up in the wild card game. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, they're waiting for the Cardinals to hit their wall or start their regression. Yeah.
The whole National League's been waiting for that for we'll call it 2 decades.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about, they talk about the run of the Cardinals, and it's been a great run. But it really, to me, starts in 2011, a lot of, the hatred and the animosity and just, the consistent winning. They came back from nowhere, won that World Series, and they've been in the League Championship Series every year since.
See, I feel like it more so started the next year in 2012. Maybe it did start in 2011, but I started realizing it, I guess, in 2012, starting with the call in the wild card game with the infield fly call when that went the Cardinals' way.
That was bad.
They won that one, and then they came back and ruined Washington Nationals fans' year in Game 5. And a lot of fans were happy to see them blow a 3-1 series lead to the Giants.
And I don't know why I remember this, but I do. I just remember Joe Buck's call after Lance Berkman tied the game against the Rangers in Game 6 in 2011.
They just won't go away.
They just won't go away. And they haven't since.
Yeah.
They haven't since.
Yeah. That was, I mean, as far, get rid of the animosity point, that's where the peskiness of the Cardinals has really started, was in that season, because they were done on August 25th.
They're like that itch on your back that's right in the middle that you can't get, that you got to get like a pin out and scratch. And they're just annoying.
they really are.
They won't go away.
Yeah, and they're starting to get guys back and healthy, like Holiday is getting more reps now. John Jay he's getting more reps now. Adams got the start with the AAA lineup last night, so he's getting more reps now. We haven't seen Yachty yet. Of course, we won't see him until the playoffs, if we see him.
He'll be
playoffs.
Behind the plate on Friday
Think
night.
So?
I'll be shocked if he's not.
Do they play Friday?
Yeah, they play Friday. And there's a good chance that the lineup the Cardinals roll out for Game 1 of the playoffs on Friday will be a lineup that they have not had on the field together.
Since opening day.
It's possible.
Yeah.
And maybe not even then. If Randall Grichuk's healthy and he's your center fielder, the combination of Holiday and Grichuk have not played too much together.
I think I have made my I don't think Grichuk is starting in center field in this series, just because I don't think his arm is going to be ready in this series. He maybe NLCS, but division series.
If they get there, David.
Yeah, if they get there. But I still think at this point his arm is just too weak for center field right now.
That might not stop Mike Matheny, though.
But he loves him some John Jay. Mike Matheny loves some John Jay. So I think as much as it's not a good decision, I think John Jay is likely your starting center fielder for the postseason.
I'm afraid you might be right.
I think that's – why else would he get two starts and a doubleheader. I mean, obviously he did end up having good numbers against Charlie Morton, and it worked out for the two innings that Morton pitched.
Hey, every time they try to take John Jay's job, he just gets it done.
They need to give his job away so he gets it done. I mean, he's one of the best fourth outfielders in the game.
He is just the perfect example of a winning player.
Yeah.
Good championship clubs have guys like John Jay, not necessarily as their everyday center fielder, but on the 25-man roster.
But that's the problem with he and Matheny being on the same club, is he's the perfect fourth outfielder because he's great in that fill-in role, and he can give you three starts a week because he's filling in for somebody in the lineup. But whenever he is your everyday outfielder, he has struggled. I mean, this year he has struggled. Obviously, injuries had a lot to do with it. 2013, he struggled. 2012, he struggled down the stretch. 2011, whenever they felt comfortable enough to trade Colby Rasmus, after they traded Rasmus, he really struggled, lost his job to Skip Schumacher come postseason time. 2010, they felt comfortable trading Ryan Ludwig in right field and putting John Jay in right field, and he really struggled after that. So whenever they've given him the starting job, he struggled.
That's right.
But whenever he's battling with somebody as the fourth outfielder, then he's been great. So they need to look, hey, maybe we should keep this guy as the fourth outfielder and not make him the everyday center fielder.
Tough decisions for Mike Matheny on that postseason roster. For you have a Huntington club and have this many tough decisions just because of the injuries. You got your big dogs coming back, but yet you got all these young rookies who, without them, you're not even in the position you are. So it's an enviable position that Matheny is in.
You've got Holiday, Adams, Reynolds, Grichuk, Moss, and Piscotty, and Hayward. Seven guys battling for first base, left field, right field for three positions. Obviously, Grichuk and Hayward will be thrown in the center
field. Hayward's your starting right fielder. There's no question about
that. Right, but I'm saying, those are the seven guys up for three positions. I mean, obviously, Hayward and Grichuk will be in the center field rotation probably too, but, I mean, you can start three of those guys and then put a couple on the bench, but somebody's still getting left off the postseason roster.
Somebody who's been a big contributor, maybe two guys who have been huge contributors, will not make the playoff roster.
Yeah. I mean, look at a guy like Brandon Moss, like you traded for at the deadline. He may not make your postseason roster.
It'll be interesting.
It will be.
Hopefully they will get the game in tomorrow, and if they do, we'll have it live at 1:10 on WSMI AM 1540 from Atlanta. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back with more following these messages. We are back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We'll have the Fighting Illini coming up 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on FM 106, and that'll be followed up with Nokomis Junior High Baseball from the state tournament. Broadcast time 7 o'clock here on FM 106. Whether they are playing for third place or the championship, we'll have the broadcast at 7 tonight as Nokomis playing in the semifinals right now, taking on Joliet St. Paul. Let's focus our attention back on the gridiron from last night as week number 6 saw the Litchfield Purple Panthers lose last night, but it was a close ball game and Litchfield back to 3-3 on the year. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers, Pat Renson. Pat, you lost last night, but you have to like the way that your kids fought back.
Absolutely. Part of that story is also starting a little bit flat and allowing Roxana to kind of jump ahead there on us in the first half, but certainly proud of the guys for coming out second half and deciding to not give up, not just throw in the towel on the game and started competing and having fun. And next thing we knew, we were, I wouldn't say necessarily right back in the game, but fought our way back to where all of a sudden, it felt like we were playing football again, and that's what we want. We want to be competitive every week, so.
And you absolutely have. And, Pat, you look at your three losses on the year, Greenville, Gillespie, and now Roxana, three quality clubs. But you were in all of those ball games.
Yeah, that's been something that we've kind of preached to our kids a lot, is that, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. We need to show up each and every week ready to play football. Of course, hopefully ready to play four quarters of football. But, yeah, I mean, we just want to compete. We want to have fun, and we want to play the game the right way, regardless of what the scoreboard says. I think sometimes it can be tempting to look at the scoreboard and say, well, okay, logic tells us this game's probably out of hand. We're not going to win, and then you let it affect the way you play. But, good athletes don't do that. They play hard, regardless of what the scoreboard says, and trust that some good things are going to happen if we keep playing the right way
And I think we saw a little bit of that last night. We made some adjustments at halftime. The guys came out and believed in each other and trusted that we were going to get the ball moving and get some stops, and we kind of got it rolling there a little bit in the second half.
And at 3-3, 6 weeks through the season, you guys are still right in the thick of the playoff opportunity.
Yeah, and we're not the only ones in the conference, as you guys know. I mean, there's a lot of those teams right there in the middle have a lot to play for these last few weeks, and that makes for some exciting football games that we're looking forward to here down the stretch.
And Pat, I'm not trying to make 3-3 seem out to be like you guys are 6-0 or anything, but there's been some lean years here at Litchfield. So for you guys to be in this position, I think it's a big step forward for the program.
Sure, we understand, and you know that's part of the message that we have to our guys too. I mean, I think the group that we have, you know, they're hungry for that playoff taste, and they want to go out and put a good product out on the field every Friday night. And you know, and even talking about how we've been competitive every week, I mean, that's a big part of it too, of just going out with that attitude of, you know, win, lose, or draw, we're going to play football and we're going to play it the right way. And so the guys are having fun and certainly have some things to fix, and we've got to come out ready to execute and play more efficient there early in the game, especially against a top-level team like Roxana. You know, hats off to them. They played really well, well-coached, and they're going to take advantage of those early miscues, and they did last night. But again, proud of our guys for not just throwing in a towel, and they competed the whole way. So,
and regardless of if you win or lose these upcoming three games, I'm sure your message will be just to finish strong. And boy, do you have a tough schedule to finish strong with, facing Pena, Hillsborough, and Carlinville as your last three opponents in the season.
Absolutely, and I think as an athlete, you look forward to the test of, hey, we get to go up against the best, and right now that's Pena. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're the top dog in the conference, and so I think our guys are looking forward to that. Of course, you know, we're only, you know, 12 hours removed from the game last night or so, and so you're still kind of a little bit in reflection of what happened last night, but I certainly think that you look forward to those opportunities to go out against the best. And just kind of play with reckless abandon there, knowing, hey, they're the top dog. What do we have to lose? You know, let's go give them a fight and see what we can do.
Oh, you're exactly right. And if you were to win at least two of the three games, or even all three of them, I mean, you could look at it. It'd be a great tune-up for the postseason with those three opponents.
Yeah, I think you have a stretch of some tough games here at the end of the season, and it's really the time where you could say, all right, here's where we can define what kind of season we've had. And you're right, that the big part of that message is we need to finish strong. And of course, we would all, you know, the players, coaches, fans, everybody, you know, we all want to come out with some wins here at the end of the season and get into the postseason. But we can't worry too much about just the wins and losses. We got to just make sure we are focused and ready to play the game, to execute on all sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. Got to take care of the ball, and you know the scoreboard and the outcomes will work themselves out. So part of that is a challenge for us. You know, when we're playing these games now that are meaningful and could have playoff implications, we got to make sure not to get too overwhelmed by, you know, the implications there. We have to make sure that we just take it one play at a time and do our jobs.
Absolutely. Pat, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Best of luck next week at Pena, and we'll talk to you next week, sir.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Pat Rintz, the head coach of the Litchfield Purple Panthers. We will have Litchfield at Pena next week on 105.3 The Ox. We will have Hillsborough at Carlinville here on WQSMI FM 106. And there will be a really good sense of the South Central picture after next week.
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of your teams are still bunched up in the middle. Obviously, you got Pena at the top, with being 6-0, and even so, Hillsborough and Carlinville now 4-2. They're kind of still with that team, with that group of teams that bunched up. But yeah, you'll get it'll be a lot more clear next week.
Now I always picture like the faces of coaches like just cringing like when we start like looking ahead and talking about different things, because they are all about the process, mm-hmm. week to week, play to play. And so for Litchfield, pain is all that matters.
Yeah.
Right now, nothing else matters. For Hillsborough, Carlinville is all that matters. That, and on it goes through the high school football season. But it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out.
And they were in this position 2 years ago. They were 3-3. Obviously got here different ways, but they were 3-3 heading into Pena. And it was essentially a playoff game because Pena was also 3-3. Pena, Hillsborough, Litchfield all, I believe, were 3-3 at the time. And those three teams were battling basically for the last spot in the postseason. And Pena ended up running the table and winning. Maybe they were 2-4. Pena was 2-4 heading that game. They had to win out. And yeah, Litchfield just important to play well in this game in order to keep the postseason hopes alive.
It seems like Pena is always either 4-5, 5-4, or undefeated.
Yeah,
you know, they're never.
There's no in between.
Doesn't seem to be. No.
Yeah.
Pena another strong showing last night as they are atop the South Central all alone. At 6-0. We'll have the Fighting Illini on the radio 2 o'clock this afternoon. That will be followed up by the Nokomis Braves. Junior high state baseball action comes your way at about 7 tonight here on FM 106. Nokomis playing in the semis right now up in East Peoria against Joliet St. Paul. We wish them good luck as Tito will have the call tonight at about 7 o'clock. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM Litchfield, Hillsborough, Carlinville, and Greenville. The station you can count on. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Have a great weekend, everybody.